we'll go to Old Testament, Exodus chapter 33, 12 to 23. We are going to see what God's glorifying prayer is. Do you all pray? We all pray, right? One preacher said, you can pray and not be Christian, but you cannot be a Christian and not pray. So we all pray. That doesn't mean that we are Christians. But if we don't pray, it might mean that we are not Christians. And prayer is common in all religions in this world. Every religion you see, every religious person prays to their own God. What's the difference between Christian prayer and what's the difference between Christian prayer and the pagan prayer? Actually, what do we pray for? That's the question. You know what pagans pray for when they go to the temples? God, give me money, make me famous, make me great, and help me doing that. And what Christians should pray for? Jesus Christ helps us. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, he says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done. Your will be done. Your name should be glorified. If you remember in Genesis, what is the great sin that happened? Great sin in Genesis. Genesis chapter 11 verse 4. All people gathered and they said, let us make name for our own selves. Let us make name for our own selves. We pray for the glory of God. Today we are going to look into Exodus chapter 33 where Moses, the servant of the Lord, prays for his glory, prays for God's glory. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 33 verse 12 to 23. I am reading from ESV. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people. But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? That is the Moses' request. And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for a man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not be seen. This is a wonderful episode. If you are new to Cornerstone, Cornerstone believes in preaching the whole counsel of God. So Pastor Sammy preaches through verse by verse exposition of Bible. So some of our brothers, as he is away, going to fill the pulpit. And I was supposed to preach, planned to preach through Psalms. But thanks to Josephine, who asked me to teach Sunday school a couple of weeks ago, and I was teaching Sunday school children Exodus 33 to 40, and then this passage caught me. What a wonderful prayer that Moses did. You know the theme that he's praying for? God's presence. You go with me. We need you, God. God's presence. He's praying for the glory of God. You see in verse 15 he says, how shall it be known? It should be known, Lord, that we are your people and you are great. You know, Exodus, I want to give you a brief of Exodus. The book Exodus is the second book of Old Testament, Old Bible. Exodus means departure. God redeemed Israel from the slavery of Pharaoh to his own service, to his own worship. This is the beautiful picture of gospel. God redeeming people for his own worship. What happened in Genesis chapter 3? Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they lost to the privilege of being in the presence of the Lord. And now, in Exodus, God came down to people. When they prayed, God came down to people and is giving his presence. But there is a problem. In chapter 32, we see Israelites rebelling against God. God heard their prayer. He came to redeem them. He redeemed them. He took them out of slavery. He brought them to Mount Sinai. He gave the law. They all said, okay, Lord, all that you have commanded, we will do. And right just down to the Mount Sinai, where God gave the law, people all rebelled against God by making an idol, golden calf. See in Exodus chapter 32, I'm reading for you. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, make us gods who shall go before us. We don't know where Moses went. Make a god for us. And they made golden calf and then they worshipped. This is abominable sin that God hates. Yet, there is a favor in God. God is so gracious. This is what Moses believed. And now he is again going to beg God for his presence. The presence of the Lord is important for Moses. So that's the prayer we are going to look. And that is the God glorifying prayer. As Moses prayed for the name of the Lord, we should also pray for the name of the Lord. Not for our own names. Not that we will be great, but God will be great through our lives. So as Moses prayed, we will also pray like God glorifying prayers. And there are three principles in this passage we will learn. Three principles that will help us to pray like Moses, God glorifying prayers. And the first principle is that dependence on God's guidance. Dependence on God's guidance. See in verse 13, the first request that Moses makes is, now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways. Please show me your ways. Can you help me? Lord, help me to find favor in your sight. Continual favor. I want to walk in your ways. Can you guide me? This is the heart of Moses. Guide me, Lord. Whose guidance we take today? Is it from the counsel of God, wisdom of God, or Google? Google has all answers. Many answers, actually. It can't help you. Trust me. Bible has answers. God's counsel has answers. Moses approached God. And there are two reasons to depend on God's guidance. And the first reason is, we have impossible task of leading. Impossible task. See, Moses here, he says in verse 12. See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send me with. Lord, you said, bring up these people. I can't lead. I can't go alone, Lord. I brought them up. Now, how to take them? Where should I take them? I can't go. I can't lead these people. He understood that he cannot lead these people. You know how many times Moses had conversation in this Exodus 40 chapters? 167 times it says, Lord spoke to Moses, Moses spoke to Lord. 167 times. I didn't calculate by myself. I have a software, so I just searched. But 167 times. This is the man who understood that he in himself cannot do anything. Only in God's strength he can do. That is why he continually went back to the Lord. Whenever he faced the problem, Lord help me. Lord guide me. I cannot do this work. You remember in Exodus chapter 3 when he was called by God, he said, who am I to go and stand before Pharaoh? I can't do. Do you understand today the task that you have is impossible? This is not only for leaders. Actually, we are all leaders. Christians are leaders. We are supposed to lead people to Christ. And in whatever capacity you are leading, your family, you might be leading your wife, you might be leading your children, a mother leading children, and your brother, maybe your own life. You are single, but you are leading your own life. It's impossible for you. When you understand you cannot lift the weight, you will cry out for help like Moses. Lord, please help me. It is impossible, but it is possible with the Lord. Remember John 15:5, Jesus Christ said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And Philippians 4, Paul said, I can do all things with the strength that Christ gives. It is impossible task that we have in front of us, but we have immeasurable favor of God. That is our second reason, immeasurable favor of God. You see, when Moses requested, show me your ways, come with me, he says in verse 14, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. So first I will try to explain what is presence. What is the presence? What is God's presence? When he is talking about God's presence, if you see in Genesis chapter 16:6, Hagar fled from the presence of Sarah. And Genesis chapter 2 verse 15 it says, sorry, Exodus chapter 2 verse 15 says, Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh. So they were under the government of someone else. Hagar was under government of Sarah. Moses was under government of Pharaoh. So they don't want to submit to the government of their master, so they fled away. Even here, when Moses is asking for God's presence, he is telling leaders, you be the king. So it's God's presence that he is requesting. But for God to be with these people, the righteous king, it will be very hard on them. Because you can see in Exodus 33 verse 5, he says, the same chapter, he says, if for a single moment I should go with you, I would consume you. Because you are stiff-necked people. God is so righteous, he has to punish sin. But here in verse 15, when Moses requested, he said, okay, my presence shall go. That is the favor of God. Grace, the forgiveness. And it is only possible because of Christ. Remember Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. He says we have redemption in Christ, the forgiveness in the blood of Christ, the death of Christ. So God is forgiving them. When Moses requested in Christ, he is forgiving these people and saying, my presence will go with you. This is immeasurable favor of God. How long it takes for you to slap back when you are slapped? Seconds. See the patience of God. You know, first sin that was committed in Genesis chapter 3. And in this is thousands of years. He is waiting patiently even now. See the favor of God. We have immeasurable favor of God. I don't know what sin you're having in your own life. How big, how much ever big it is. God's grace is more big, more huge. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, He lavished His grace. You know, lavished means like dhuj sagar falling on you. The grace of God is like dhuj sagar falling on you. God's grace is huge. Whatever the struggle that you're going through, if you go to the Lord, God will help you. He is so gracious. And the second principle that will help us to pray like God glorifying prayer is desperate for God's presence. This is the verse actually that caught me. Desperate for God's presence. In verse 15 it says, if your presence does not go with us, please do not bring us from here. Canaan is a land flowing with milk and honey. And Mount Sinai is wilderness. You know what Moses is saying? Lord, I don't want anything except you. If you are not going to come with me, I don't need anything. I'll stay in the wilderness. I don't want the blessings. I don't want the money. I don't want my name. I want you, Lord. I want your presence. We want to be in your presence. If you are not going with us, don't bring us. We will stay in the wilderness where you are here. What are you desperate for this day? You're sitting in a church, but what are you desperate for? You know, your prayer resembles your desires. Moses is desperate for God's presence. Hunger for God. He's longing for God's presence. Actually, this is what all the believers, even in the Old and New Testament, cried for. Psalm 42. David cried, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? It's a life and death issue for a deer. The same way David is comparing, my soul pants for you. Do you? What are you desperate for? Is it money? Is it name? Is it comforts of this world? Or God? That's the question that we have to ask. And Paul, if you remember, Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11, he said, all the things in the world I count it as loss to know Christ. To know Christ. For me to live is Christ and die is gain, because he is going to be with Christ. So to live is Christ and to die is Christ. For us, is it Christ or is it self? We might say on Sundays, I can preach, but if I'm not living, longing for Christ, everyone will see. If you are a parent, your children are watching. Someone said, don't complain that your children are not listening. Know that they are watching you. One family in my hometown, they're rich. They taught their family, children, to earn money. To earn money in this world. And then their father passed away. Sadly, the children, they were arguing. You take the mother. You take care of the mother. You are the elder one. You are the responsible person. And the mother overheard. You know what she did? She killed herself. It's a sad story. Sorry to bring this up. Whatever your desires are, that is shown. If you are leading your wife, you are leading your family, your own self, it's evident. And they'll follow that. So Moses, being the leader of Israelites, he is desiring God's presence. Since he knew that God's presence is important, he is praying for the children, for his children, for Israelites. that God, your presence that we need. Will you stand for your family? Will you stand for your spouse before God? Will you take this commitment and pray, God, we need your presence in our lives. One person, this is the one person who is praying, and God answered his prayer. God will answer your prayer. If you stand for your family, Lord, please, your presence that we need. Psalm 16 verse 11, it says, in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand pleasures forevermore. God's presence has fullness of joy. And the second reason is, God is glorified in this world. That he is desperate for God's presence. First, that because he wants God. And second is, God is glorified in this world. First reason is that God is better than blessing. And the second reason is that God should be glorified. You see, in verse 15, we already read for in the introduction that how shall it be known? Lord, it should be known to all the earth that you are our God. Your name should be glorified. Isaiah chapter 63 verse 12, it says, this is the same, it's the same story. Isaiah again brings the topic up and says, you bringing Israelite, you made your name glorious, Lord. Moses is asking for this. Make your name glorious, Lord, in all this earth. Even in our lives, while leading our children, our people, our family, our own lives, we don't submit to Christ just because we want to be happy, we want to be good, we want to be peaceful. We should pray that God will be glorified. As Moses prayed that, Lord, you glorify your name by saving, redeeming us. Christians, we should pray for the glory of God. And the third principle that will help us to pray a God-glorifying prayer is desire to see God's glory. A desire to see God's glory. He says in verse 18, Moses said, please show me your glory. This is the third request, and this is the greatest prayer that has been ever prayed. Whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, this is the greatest prayer that has been ever prayed. Please show me your glory. Glory means worthiness, heaviness, the fullness of God. Moses wants to see God. You remember when in Exodus chapter 3, when God called him, he asked for his name. Now he wants to see God himself. Because God called Israelites for the worship. And Christians don't worship because we are obligated to worship. But we are attracted to Christ, and then we worship. So Moses here is asking, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory so that I worship you. That is his motive for asking God's glory. Because after God revealing himself in Exodus chapter 34, he bowed down his head and worshipped. He wanted to worship God. And that should be our prayer request too. To see God's glory. You can go through the prayers of all New Testament. Survey the New Testament prayers. Barely you'll find a prayer that is prayed for earthly needs. Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, I pray for you that God may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having eyes of your hearts enlightened. Knowledge of him. You can see it in Colossians chapter 2 also. That your hearts may be encouraged to reach all the riches of assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery which is in Christ. That is his prayer for all the churches. That we will all know Christ, see Christ, the glory of Christ, the worthiness of Christ. Only then we will be able to worship Him. Only then we will be able to submit to Him. Moses has to lead all these people to worship. And if he himself doesn't worship God, he won't be able to lead these people. So Moses is asking God, reveal yourself, Lord. I want to see you. Show me your glory. And God reveals himself. First he reveals by saying, proclaiming his goodness. He says, goodness, God's goodness is proclaimed, saying, I will proclaim my name. Can you turn to verse 19? Verse 19. He says, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Moses asked to see God's glory, to see. But God is saying, I will proclaim my name. You know, the most important thing is voice, listening. So God is saying, I will proclaim my name. Because the true intimate relationship with the Lord comes not by eyes, but ears. Knowing Him. And what is God revealing him? He says election. He talks about election. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. This is good news for us. You know why? Because he shows grace and mercy, not because we deserve, but he is gracious and merciful. If you give 100 rupees for a beggar, it doesn't mean that he deserves, right? You give because you want to give him. You are gracious. The same way when we beg before God, God being merciful and gracious, he gives. We don't need any righteousness, self-righteousness that will make God to move and give. God himself is gracious and merciful. When we go beg him, he will give us. That's what he's saying. I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. That's the good news. That's the goodness of God. He said, my goodness shall pass. This is the goodness of God. Our security of salvation lies in the character of God. And secondly, not only audio, he says, you can't see me, but you can see me some. He said, you can't see my face and live. No man can see my face and live. But still, he says, you can see my back. Lord, in verse 20 he said, you cannot see my face, for a man shall not see my face and live. And Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock. The rock is facilitating Moses to see God, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back. So you can't see my face, but you can see my back. So God has face, God has back, God has hand. That doesn't mean that God is a man who has human organs. God, while revealing himself to humans, he uses this term so that we might understand. Human terms. When he says that I have bore you on my wings, that doesn't mean that God has wings. It's just the way of explaining things. So God is explaining so that we might understand. So God is saying that you cannot see my face, but you can see my back. Can anyone see God? In the New Testament, we have seen in the words of John chapter 1 verse 18, he says, no one has seen God at any time. But Moses saw the back of God. Whom did Moses see? Christ himself. You can see in John chapter 1 verse 18, he says, no one has seen God at any time. The other part is, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Whenever God revealed himself to the sinful men, it is only through the mediator, Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way to the Father. Philip asked Jesus Christ, show me Father. What did Jesus reply? You have seen me. Whenever God is revealed to sinful men, it is through Jesus Christ. So Moses here is beholding to the glory of Christ. And if you see in the chapter 34, this is the glory that Moses has recorded. He saw, and this is what he recorded. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. This is what Moses recorded. This is the glory that Moses saw. If you see the focus here, everything is God's goodness, God's grace, God's mercy. And God's grace is given to us through Jesus Christ. He saw Jesus Christ. We think that this is so glorious. And one of my friends in Hyderabad, when I was an early Christian, he said, hey, I asked him, you're looking good today, you're glowing. And you know what he said? Yeah, I prayed more time yesterday. And remember when in Exodus, Moses, when he prayed, his face shined. So you also pray. And then I was stupid, I prayed, but I remained dark. I didn't shine. It's not the skin that glows. When we see Christ, behold Christ, when we understand the goodness of Christ, and when we live according to the goodness of Christ, we show Christ. We shine the light of the gospel to this world. Moses is reflecting God's goodness. The light that is coming is God's. As Christians now, we should shine the light of Christ. When you live like Christ, people will see Daryl is changed. He loves Christ. He behaves like Christ. He forgives like Christ. He loves like Christ. That is the light that we shine. How many of your friends, whether it is Christians or non-Christians, can say that you are the person who loves Christ? You are the person who live like Christ? That is the question that we have to ask. We have to shine the light of the gospel. We have more glorious privilege than Moses. Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in 18 verse 18, and we all with an unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Now we are beholding God with unveiled face. We have greater privilege than Christ. You know, morning, it's Joel who prayed, right? Joel, we spoke to the Lord. We spoke to the living God today. I'm talking about the living God. We have this presence of God in us. We can go to the Lord just because of Christ. We have more glorious privilege. We have to stand for Christ. Will you take a commitment like Moses? As he went for Israelites and begged before God for his presence, for his glory. Will you stand? Will you take a commitment for your family, for your own self? And will you pray the God-glorifying prayer, Lord, will you show me your ways? so that I might walk in your ways. Can you be with me? Help me to submit to you. Help me to come under your government, Lordship of Christ, so that people might see the light of the gospel in me, the Christ in me, and my family, and glorify your name. We all should pray this prayer. God, make your name great in my life, in my family's life, especially for the cornerstone. Let's pray. Father, you are so good to us. Thank you for your love that you have shown in Christ. We come with confidence because of Christ. I pray for Cornerstone, Lord, that we will all live for Christ. We will pray for Christ's glory in our own lives, in our families, and even for Cornerstone, Lord. I pray each one here will be a man of prayer who will kneel down before you and ask help, depend on you, Father. I pray that we will do all things for your glory and with your strength, Lord. I pray for Sammy, who is away from Cornerstone, Lord, that he will minister you faithfully. I pray for the safety of the family as well. Lord, I submit Cornerstone into your hands. That I pray that you will glorify, you will make your name great throughout Goa by proclaiming the gospel through Cornerstone. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.